As always, that if you've noticed, songs seem to have a meaning. Each one, especially when we're singing to the Lord, has a specific power, in a sense. And that last song, that was it. That was awesome. So today, we're going to be talking about three words that no one ever wants to say, but yet it has to be said. And that's, I forgive you. They're the toughest words to say because they go directly against our pride. And our pride is our sin nature. But yet forgiveness is an integral and crucial part of our heavenly nature. And it's something that we should be practicing all the time. So I want you guys to do something really quick. If you could, just turn to each other and just say, I forgive you. Now, I know that there's no offense. Just so there's understood, there's no offense. But I just want you to say, I forgive you. So how did that feel? Did it feel good? Did it feel good to be able to give forgiveness as well as to have someone tell you that you're forgiven? Was it like a blessing? Well, we're not going to go there. That'd be a long sermon. But it really is a blessing. That's the point. That's what we're going to find out today. And we need to remember that when we go forth into this egotistical, entitlement, dark, dark world, because we are the bearers of the light. We're the ones who go forth. Our goal, like Jesus said, is go spread the gospel, bring others into the light. And people see that in us. Unforgiveness is of the world. So if we're walking in unforgiveness, we're walking in the world's ways. I mean, how many times, you're like, someone has said, can you believe what, Mike did to you? It's like, I forgive him. I love him. What? How can you? And they're just baffled by it. They can't comprehend it. But that's the thing. That's God. So now, what is forgiveness? So the Greek word forgive is aphiaimi. That's the fun one to pronounce. And from Strong's, it means to send away, to leave alone, to send away, to let go. I release. I permit to depart. An easy way to remember this is forgive. I give forth. So to you, Lord, I give forth all feelings of justice, all feelings of retribution, all feelings of anger, anything that I want to hold against this person for what they did, I give to you. It's no longer in my hands. And I remember what they did no more. That's what forgiveness is. Now, there is a difference between forgiveness and reconciliation. You have to understand that. Forgiveness, you should always give. But reconciliation means that you're joined back together with that person as it was before. But this is not always possible. It might be that maybe there wasn't an apology that was offered by them. Maybe they don't even think that they did anything wrong, that they're walking in the right. Now, you may laugh at that, but just think for a moment. Before you came to know Christ, how would you rate how good you were doing? You thought you were walking pretty good. You were the example to everyone. And then you find out that's not the case. At least that's the way it was for me. Not even close to it. But there's an interesting thing we find out here. You notice that even before you came to Christ and said, Lord, please forgive me for my sins, He already said, you're forgiven. Because trust me, unless some of you are looking really good for your age, none of you were here when Jesus was here. So just say it. And if you've lived that long, you might want to talk to God about that. Apparently he's keeping you around for something. But he forgave us even before we were born, even before we were sorry. But it also might be that there's a trespass that's done that's so grievous that there can't be reconciliation. You have like physical abuse of a spouse. Someone who all constantly lies, steals, or cheats. And that's fine. That's understandable. You know, we're not commanded to reconcile. We're commanded to forgive. You know, even with Judas Iscariot, he wasn't reconciled. You know, Jesus said, only one has been lost, Father, child of perdition, so it would fulfill the scriptures. So reconciliation might not be all possible, but there's one other key here I want to touch on. If you do have a wound in your heart, if you have a broken heart from this, you should forgive, but also seek the Lord to heal your broken heart. Don't let that wound stay and fester. It's like any other wound, because it will get infected. It will fester. It's just in spiritual nature. You know, there's those that I won't ever reconcile with unless God tells me to, simply because I can't trust them. The slate is clean. They owe me nothing. And I hold nothing against them. And in fact, I actually pray for them. And I pray the Lord's intervention in their lives. But I cannot trust them. And also something, and it doesn't matter whether they come to you or not and ask for forgiveness, give it. Give it. And the sooner you give it, the better it is. You know, I usually, every night, I go through a cleansing. So every night I go before the Lord. I say, Lord, is there any sins I need to repent of? Any unconfessed sins? He will be faithful. He does show them to me. The other thing I usually ask is, Lord, is there any forgiveness that I need to give that I have not given that's in my heart? Because that's another one. And he'll show me. And I will forgive him right then and there. Now, one thing with forgiveness you have to remember is once you forgive, it's like God. It's forgotten. Because the one thing the enemy will try and do is he'll try to stir the pot. So, you know, let's say, for instance, Mike, I'm going to pick on you again. I forgive Mike. Mike, I forgive you for kicking Tucker. Tucker's my dog. You know, so then, okay, I've forgiven it. I guarantee you, because I know I've gone through this. I'm sure most of you have. Pretty soon you'll hear this little whisper that goes, what Mike did to Tucker. How can you stand to let him go like that? He deserves much worse. And then, you know, that's just the enemy. At that point, you're like, you have to go, no. I have forgiven Mike. There is nothing that I can remember that he has done. Be gone. And it is hard to do because it is a spiritual battle. It literally is in your heart and your mind. But that's the two battlefields where we wage spiritual warfare, is the heart and the mind. So now, why should we forgive? Well, the first reason is because it lessens our burdens. When we forgive someone of an offense, we are releasing any sense of retribution or judgment or anger or anything that we have from that offense. Now, to help you understand this, and yes, it's going to be that kind of a sermon today. So I want you to think of it like this. Every time that you hold on to unforgiveness, you're wrapping a chain around your heart. Every time. And you might say, well, gee, Matt, that chain's not that heavy. It's awfully light. I'm sure I could bear it. But then my question is, could you bear it all day long? You know, what happens when you start talking and interacting with those around you after having this weighed on you all day long? What happens then when it's not just one shame, but two, three, 10, 20, 50, 100? What's the condition of your heart? It's tired, but it's also as hard as the steel in this chain. Nothing's getting through to it. Nothing's coming out of it. You're basically dead. That's why you have to say, I forgive every time. Don't let the chains build up. Just say, I forgive. And you lay it at Jesus' feet. And you actually are free. You can feel it. You're free physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Because that's what unforgiveness does. It taxes you like that. You bear those burdens around with you. That's not right. That's not what the Lord had intended. We are in airplane mode. Sweet. So we're cruising along with Jesus. So the other problem is when you, if you think about it, what happens if you let unforgiveness register in your heart? It leads to bitterness. Think about how many of us here have, let's say, for instance, someone pulls out in front of you. Oh man, that. And you can't wait to tell somebody, you're not going to believe what this person did. And you just can't wait. You're phoning friends. You're laying on everybody. Could you believe this? You want them to share in this bitterness, anger. Yes. Yes. And you're even still talking about it a week later. I mean, even the secular world says, let it go. That tells you something. You know, but is that really acting like a Christian? Is that really walking in love? It's not. And if you go around bad-mouthing people for what they've done, what is that? That's slander. And what do we know about slander? Well, as Jesus said, but I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it on the day of judgment. So don't let it lead to slander. Don't let it build up. Get rid of it. Never miss an opportunity to forgive. And lay the chains at the feet of Jesus. Don't let them build up. So another reason, which we talked about, is unforgiveness leads to bitterness. Now this starts out with an unfulfilled expectation. Now you might ask, what was that unfulfilled? Why do we have expectations? I don't know. We have them. We're human. It's hard. I have an expectation that when I see a Washington license plate, that it'll drive the speed limit and not 20 miles under it. But we're all human. And that's something I keep asking God to forgive me for. But now when I see him, I just say, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to spend more time with you in prayer as I'm driving down the Miami Foley Road. So, and it works great because I do get to spend time with them. But we have these unfulfilled expectations. If we don't check those expectations, if we don't ask ourselves, well, why would I expect this? Then that leads to an offense. If we don't check the offense, that leads to anger. If we don't check the anger, that leads to bitterness. If we don't check the bitterness, that leads to hate. From hate, that leads to sin. That leads to some really bad sin. That could be murder. That could be retribution. That could be burning down a town. That could be lots of different things. But that all stems from bitterness and hate. Think of it. Let's go for example. How many of us here have stewed for hours on something someone did? Yeah, we're all guilty of it. The rest of you, you're in church. But think of it like this, that stewing, that's just fuel for the fire that Satan's using to burn you down. You know, you start stewing over one offense that someone did. What happens? All of a sudden, he's right there. You know, he's got his nice long list, you know. Matthew, remember the time that this person also did this, 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 and this, and this. You're like, and then next thing he's like, oh, not only that, but remember everybody who's done this, this, and this. You know, it's, you are in that complete state of bitterness. And it stays with you and it separates you from God. And the interesting thing with bitterness is, when you're in that state, it takes less and less of an offense to set you off. There's a gentleman I know, he is in complete bitterness. And I was actually there when he was pissed off because someone did not say good morning to him as he thought they should. I was like, what? But that's the thing. When you're in bitterness, you have this sense of entitlement that even the state of Texas can't hold. I mean, you literally think that you deserve everything, that everybody should come bow or curtsy to you. You know, but it's not that way. You're living without joy. You're living without peace. You're living without happiness. You don't have any friends because no one wants to be around you. There's no love. Because again, no one wants to be around you. It's actually like a prison. And the funny thing is you actually start living for the next offense. This individual, it's amazing because he'll come up with the weirdest what ifs I've ever heard that aren't even close to being true. What if someone from Portland drove their car, you know, into this building and then it's like, how? But that's the enemy working in him. The enemy's just fueling that fire, dumping the gasoline on. Actually, it's more like napalm. But he's just dumping it on him. You know, what if just to keep him angry? So that way he cannot be in touch with God. So does that sound like the kind of life that we want to live?
No.
No. Wow. Wow. Okay. Apparently there's a lot of work to do today. A lot of work. Oh. I knew I should have stretched before coming up here. Oh, okay. So anyways, you say, well, Matt, what if the offense that they do just makes me so angry I can't forgive them? You know, that's true, and that's fine. But I want you to look at what Paul said. He said, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. It's fine to be angry. Even Jesus was angry. You know, when he came to the temple and the money changers were there and the people with all the animals, he whipped them right out of there. He had righteous anger going. Just as a quick, funny story, some of you have already heard this. When I came back from San Jose a couple months ago, I was taking a day off to try and rest and recuperate, and there was a knock on my door. And I opened, and I had a bunch of stuff on my lap, so I was like, okay, took the stuff off, opened the door, no one's there. It's like, interesting. So I step out, and I see this little brown Ford Ranger with a canopy on it. It says, City of Tillamook. It's like, interesting. So I'm standing there watching. There's this gal in the cab. She's on her cell phone. And eventually she gets off the cell phone, comes out. She comes up to me in a complete police vest, pepper spray, mace, everything you could think of except for a gun that a police officer has. She even has a nice little badge. It says City of Tillamook Code Enforcement. And I'm just like, what the? And going through my mind is, we actually, as taxpayers, are paying for this? Fascinating. But she comes up to me and she goes, sir, I need to talk with you today. Are you the owner of this premises? And I said, yeah. Well, I need to talk to you. You have dandelions growing in your front yard. I'm like, okay, hold on. Hold on. And she's like, is everything all right? I'm like, I'm trying to keep this civil. And I said, yes, dandelions go very fast. They are in my yard. What's the problem? Well, they're an invasive seed source that we need to control, and you need to take care of these. And I'm just like, Matt went straight from peace and quiet to anger in 0.6 seconds. And so anyways, long story short, I explained to her, like, yes, I know. I got a letter from them. The grass was this high. This year, my grass is that high. And she's like, well, it's still the dandelions. I was just like, okay. So anyways, I got done with her. And boy, let me tell you, that door was wide open. The enemy just went, hey, boys, door's open. Come on in. I went through the whole emotional spectrum, anger, frustration. I mean, just, and the enemy was just bringing everything to mind I'd gone through. Not just with that, but ever. And it's just like, no, no, no. I cast you out. I cast you out. Go back to feed Jesus. All that day was just spent doing that. But you know, then in the evening, I had peace. I had peace. I took care of it before the night. So going along with this, so another thing Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4 is, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. So how do we do this? Well, actually, he gives the next verse to us, or gives the answer to the next verse. He says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. So do you see that? So when we forgive someone from our heart, it's like a powerful magic eraser. Takes away all anger, bitterness, cleans it all up. And just remember what Jesus said in Matthew 10:18. Freely you have received, freely give. Because that's the key. You know, when we fight this, we have been, you say, how can we extend forgiveness? Because extended, our forgiveness was extended to us first for things that are far more worse than what that person did. Far worse. So if we've been forgiven, we should be able to forgive others. That forgiveness leads to love, and God is love. So for this, don't even keep a short list of IOUs. Keep no list of IOUs. Let it all go. Don't let the devil in. Check your bitterness. You know, look at the world today. What world are we living in? World of hate? Offense? You know what Jesus told his disciples? He said, and then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. That's the world we're living in right now. And it all starts with being offended. So the third reason why it's important to forgive is because forgiveness is a sin. And unforgiveness, sorry. Well, you know, I just started talking yesterday. Thank you all for catching that. Unforgiveness is a sin. You guys are really kind today, too. So I'm glad. Yes, I was testing you. I'm glad you were listening. I didn't hear any snoring or any recent phone rings. But as a sin, it separates us from God. You know, we can't draw close to him. We can't hear him. You know, we're kind of kept at arm's length from him. Now, you may say, well, how is unforgiveness a sin? So there's two reasons. First is we have to remember, like we just talked about, God has forgiven us. Now, you may say, has God actually forgiven me? So let's look at some nice verses here. So first is Jeremiah 31:34. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. Exactly. And as we talked about, when we forgive, we remember no more what they did. In Daniel 9:9, to the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Matthew 12:31, therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men. Say, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven. Like you mean it. Every sin and every blasphemy will be forgiven. Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. In 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So has God forgiven you for lying? Has God forgiven you for swearing? Has God forgiven you for all of your sins? Okay, so if then he's forgiven and we withhold forgiveness from those around us, what are we saying to God? He's wrong. Exactly. We're telling God he's wrong in his forgiveness. How dare he? No, Father, clearly they're wrong. They need to be punished right now. Smite. Push that smite button. Is that of God? No, it's not of God. Now, how do you think telling the Lord and creator of all things that he's wrong is going to go? Yeah, it's not going to go so good. You can try if you want. I want no part of it. And I could tell you exactly where it's going to go. And it's not going to be good. But that's why when the devil comes to you and whispers in your ear that no, God is wrong, that forgiveness, you don't give forgiveness. You need to hold it in. God's wrong. That's when you need to really resist the devil and tell him, no, I am going to forgive because I am a child of God. God forgave me. I forgive them. Again, don't let him have a foothold. Give forgiveness abundantly. Don't hold it back. And God has set the example for us by sending his son here so that he could forgive us, because without blood there's no remission of sin. So if Jesus had not gone to the cross and died for us, we would not be able to be forgiven. And without forgiveness, there is no love, there is no life, there's only death and sorrow. So that's why we have to forgive. Second reason is by not forgiving the sins of those around us, we are not obeying the commandment to love one another as God has commanded us. You know, we went through this before, you know, in Luke 10:27, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. You know, we went through that little exercise at the beginning. How did it feel to get forgiveness? How do you think if someone actually had done an offense, or you had to done an offense, to know that you're forgiven? That's why it's key. And it's God. God's the one who, out of love, forgave us. And if we're holding forgiveness back, we're not loving him. We're disobeying everything that he's told us. You know, unforgiveness in itself is pride, and pride is not of God. Pride is a part of our sinful nature. And I know it's hard to combat sometimes, because when someone makes or offends us, we want to be angry at them because we feel like we're entitled to be angry to them. We don't want to give forgiveness because we're like, no, I want to hold this over them more. I want to be justified in my hatred of this person. But that's not of God. It's not. That's selfishness and pride. And that, so is selfishness of God? No. Selfishness is the opposite of love, and God is love. So selfishness, we deal with Satan. Now, another thing to keep in mind with this is you may say, well, okay, Matt, do I forgive this person? Maybe two times I give them the two rule. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. No. No, in fact, let's look at Matthew 18, 21 through 22. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Then Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but up to 70 times seven. I'm way past that right now too. But that's the thing. Jesus is telling Peter, no, don't put a number on it. Because that's pride as well. You're like, okay, fine, Lord, I'll forgive him two times, seven times, but that's it. That's it. I'm better than you, Lord. I know what they want, what they need. I'm going to give it to them. But that's not what Jesus is saying. He's saying love endlessly, forgive endlessly. Don't hold accounts. We can't do that. Forgiveness is an act of love that is applicable to both friends and enemies. It covers the whole spectrum. And what does Scripture tell us to do with our enemies? Tells us, yeah, to love them. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. When you say, I forgive you, you are saying, I love you. Do you guys see this? This is actually, when you think about it, how corrupt the sin-filled world is, this is actually one of the greatest gifts we've been given. The ability to forgive and be forgiven. You know, this is of heaven. This isn't of earth. And that's why we have to do it. Don't let pride get in the way of forgiveness. Conquer it. It has to die. Your pride has to die. It has to be crucified on the cross with Jesus. So don't hold on to unforgiveness. So another reason why forgiveness is important is the forgiveness of our sins depends on how we forgive those around us. So what is the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Ooh. Ugh. A little warm in here. So this bothered the disciples quite a bit because right after Jesus taught them this prayer, he goes on to explain that one verse. And he says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Yeah. He even goes on later on in the book of Matthew to give a parable. He said, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. That'd be kind of nice to have, 10,000 bags of gold. Ooh, I just see Indiana Jones. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. Definitely not anywhere near that gold stuff. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me and I will pay it back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said, "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. So, I want to make one thing really clear here. Very clear. This is not talking about your eternal salvation. Okay, I want to make that clear. Your eternal salvation is from grace. Okay, next slide, please. For by grace, you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. When you forgive, that's an act. That's not the grace of God. So what is this talking about then if it's not talking about eternal salvation? Because eternal salvation was done by Jesus on the cross. When that was complete, that was salvation. Once for all. So the question is then, what is this talking about? So what this is talking about is, like I said, every night I go before the Lord, "Lord, what sins have I committed?" If I'm holding unforgiveness in my heart, he's not going to forgive those sins. You know, when I get on my knees and I say, "Lord, forgive me," he's going to go, "Nope." Mm-mm. He's going to step away. He's just going to let me go on what I think is best. That's going to lead to ruin. You know, don't get me wrong. God will never leave you nor forsake you. You have to understand that. But the difference is when you're walking with God, you are like this with him. If you hold on to unforgiveness, he just takes a few steps away. He's still walking with you, but he's not with you. He's not close. He's not whispering in your ear what to do. He's just letting you go. But that's what we should be wanting, is God to be right there with us. Because I know my decisions are bad. God's decisions are always good. I know I've run many case studies. It always works this way. Still waiting for that one good Matt decision, but who knows? Oh, wait a minute. I just got it. Choosing God. Sweet. But that's why we have to give forgiveness, so that when we approach God, he can forgive us and we can have fellowship with him again. We can have intimacy with him. We can talk to him. He's right there. We can feel him. He is right with us. So what's another reason to forgive? Because God can do many powerful things through forgiveness. You know, we don't know his plans and we aren't meant to. That's not our purpose. But the one thing we can do is we can open doors for him to work either through us or through others through forgiveness. Now you might say, but how do I know God wants me to forgive? Well, you know, we've talked about it. He literally tells you, forgive others. So he has commanded, we have to do them. You know, through it, he can heal broken hearts. He can mend broken relationships. He can bring people into the kingdom of God. There's so many things he can do, but we have to take that act. You know, it's like we were talking about, it takes an act of a step of faith sometimes, and God will do the rest. And you may say, but can I actually forgive someone? You know what Jesus said on the cross? "Father, forgive them, for I know they know not what they do." Almost got the tongue twisted again. Bless you. What did Stephen say as he was being stoned? "Lord, do not lay this charge upon them." And you may say, well, that's nice, but that's them. But I want to read a little story here to you really quick. So if you got your pillows and blankets ready, there's popcorn in the back. I want to talk to you about Gary and Bonnie Withrow. Now, they were living in Lebanon. This isn't the Lebanon down the road where I come from. Actually, it might be. It can be that bad sometimes. Anyways. So Operation Mobilization Missionary Bonnie Withrow was up early on that fateful morning of November the 21st, 2002. Her husband, Gary, remained in bed, and she did her best not to disturb his sleep. It was not unusual for her to get an early start to get the tea and snacks ready for the clinic where she volunteered. But not long after Withrow left, Gary was awakened by the persistent ring of the phone. It was difficult for Gary to understand the frantic words he was hearing, but one thing was clear: something terrible had happened, and he had to get to the clinic right away. When Gary arrived, he rushed up the stairs of the clinic building to the front door. He barged past the soldier there, but was tackled by two others and forced into a separate room, away from the body lying on the floor, the body of his beloved wife. Sobs overwhelmed him, and he began to tremble as the realization sunk in. His wife was dead. She had been met at the clinic by a Muslim extremist with clear intentions. He mercilessly fired three shots into her head at close range. A man full of hate killed a gentle Christian woman who came to his country to share about love and forgiveness. In deep anguish, Gary moved to the wall separating him from his wife of 6 years. He stretched out on the cold tile floor, pressed himself against the wall, and tried to get as close to her as possible. With tears streaming down his face, he felt as though his heart had been ripped from his chest as he mourned the death of his best friend and life partner. Images of Bonnie's warm, sunny smile and sparkling eyes, her love and compassion for all people floated through Gary's mind. He remembered her serving in the clinic, giving pre- and postnatal care to Arabic refugee women. He remembered how diligently she worked to learn the Arabic language, but still struggled with certain words and expressions and was often lovingly teased by her patients. She had spent many nights in tears for these women whose religion kept them in bondage with very little compassion or hope. The couple had prayed daily for the clinic to meet not only short-term physical needs, but also the deeper spiritual needs of those lost and suffering women. Bonnie's sole desire was to bring them the message of eternal life, love, and hope. Only a year and a half later, the Witherells had begun serving the Lord in Sidon, Lebanon. They quickly saw God's plan in action as they worked together to share Christ and to love the Lebanese. They made a great team. She was peaceful, fun-loving, and a perfect counterpart for her unconventional husband. Gary was a seemingly fearless, out-of-the-box evangelist who would spend his days roaming the streets of the noisy, busy town building relationships with his predominantly Muslim neighbors and taking every opportunity to tell them of his God, a God who is merciful, loving, and forgiving, a God who could be known. As the pictures of the past surface, Gary found a song running through his mind. He and Bonnie had sung it often. I surrender all to you. I surrender all to you, all to you. At that moment, the Lord spoke to Gary with these words: a seed has been planted in your heart today. It is a seed that will turn either from anger to hatred, or from forgiveness to love. Instantly, Gary chose to reject the temptation to hate his enemies and seek revenge on his wife's murder. Instead, God gave him an unprecedented opportunity to appear live on television across Lebanon and proclaim forgiveness for the assassin from himself and from God. That was the choice he was given. Now, people asked him, well, don't you feel anything about Bonnie? He said, yes. Right now, she's dancing with the Lord. She's up there where there's no pain or suffering. I miss her, but she's with him. That is one act of forgiveness. He appeared on TV to thousands upon thousands of Muslims in Lebanon to proclaim the gospel message. That is an act of God, because they don't go for that. They do not go for that at all. But that's why we can never miss an opportunity to forgive. We don't know what God's going to do, either now or down the road. It doesn't matter if you're only looking at the here and now. Think long term, not short term. So another reason is to fight against the enemy. You know, we are in a war to save one another. How many times, if you don't feel like you're forgiven, what does that build? Resentment. And builds more offense. And it's this continuing escalation of offense and hate. Cut it off and end it. We know that forgiveness is love. Love is the one thing that the devil has nothing against. He cannot counter it. Last week you heard Pastor Brad when he was talking to that demon that was in that guy. What did the demon say? Do not send me back to the feet of Jesus. I can't stand that love. The enemy can't fight love. That's why God tells us to love our enemies. And Paul understood this. In his letter to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 2:10 through 11, he says, now whom you have forgiven anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ, lest Satan should take advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. So Paul's saying, hey, I don't know what he did, but I've forgiven him because he did something to you. Because we can't have unforgiveness. Because unforgiveness is an open door to the enemy. He'll come in. And we know better. We know his schemes. You know, we are all warriors of Christ. We are in this war. We're in this battle. So there's one more aspect of forgiveness I want to touch on. And this is really personal to each and every one of us. And I myself have had to deal with this. And it's very hard to do. It is very hard to do. And if you haven't gone through it yet, I'm pretty sure that you will. And it may be that you're feeling guilt or shame over something that you've said or done. And it may be that there's some here who even hate themselves for it. You can't get past it. And I know what that's like. I've had my little things I've had to go through. But you know what? God has forgiven you for all of them. And you may say, but does he really know? Yes, he knows. He knows each and everything you've done. And not only that, he's not temporal like we are. He doesn't live in this here and now. He knows everything that has happened and will happen. He can see what the consequences of your sin is down the road. He already knows. And he's forgiven that. I mean, this is key. This is one key we have to take away. God knows everything you have done, and he still loves you. He still forgives you. You have to understand, is like I did, if God has forgiven me, I have to be able to forgive myself. I have to. Because there unforgiveness against yourself is a sin as well. You're telling God that he's wrong. And if you do anything from this, well, even before I get that, so you might say, but Matt, what if I broke relationships? What if I hurt people? What if I caused damage? What if I caused bodily injury? He still knows. He still knows, and he still forgives you. So the one thing to really do, if you are dealing with this, please, 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 please go home tonight and just pray. Say, Heavenly Father, please forgive me in Jesus' name for not forgiving myself. And if there's anything that you know you're struggling with, confess it to the Lord and ask his forgiveness. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I forgive myself for this. And you know what? He will be quick to forgive you. Because he holds nothing, and we should hold nothing. But it's the enemy who wants to keep you in that captive bondage. He wants to keep you in chains. So he tells you no. You may say to yourself, well, how could I do something like that? I'm a child of God. How could I say that? How could I do that? But we are all human. We have a sin nature. We are in a sinful world. We are quite capable of doing that. But we all, at that point, that's when we have to seek the Lord. And we have to shed the chains. Let him go. So, if you would, really quick, could everybody bow your heads and close your eyes? So with every head bowed and every eye closed, is there anyone here who is dealing with unforgiveness of others? Anyone who's harboring unforgiveness? Okay. Is there anyone here who is harboring unforgiveness of themselves? Okay. So I'd like to pray for you really quick. And for those who didn't raise your hands, I ask you to please join in this prayer. And please pray with me. I ask you, Holy Father, to please forgive me in Jesus' name for my unforgiveness. I ask you to please forgive me for all the times I have withheld forgiveness from those around me and from myself. Lord, I may not remember each one of these offenses, but you do. Lord, I forgive them and I release them all of these offenses. Lord, I release all of the debts. I release any judgment on my part. And Lord Jesus, I lay this unforgiveness at your feet. And in the name of Lord Jesus, I take authority over every spirit of unforgiveness, every spirit of anger, every spirit of hate, every spirit of bitterness, every spirit of vengeance, every spirit of retribution.